You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Are you ready to receive the word today? Matthew chapter 7. Everybody go there. Hold your place there. We're going to be there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. It's like a person who builds a house on solid rock. The rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house. It won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. It's like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come, the winds beat against that house, it will collapse. It will collapse with a mighty crash. As this is no doubt great wisdom for all of our home builders, all of our guys in here in the construction business, this is great wisdom. We are clearly all aware that Jesus is teaching us about building our life. We are building the life, the house that we're going to live in. The title of today's message is Building Holiness. As we read the Bible, there's no doubt that God calls us to live a holy life. As we study holiness, we quickly see it is built over a lifetime. There's never a time when you are not working on building the life that you live in. Now, let's make sure we understand. At salvation, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, instantly your spirit is born again. It's made complete. It's made perfect. And there's nothing you add to it. There's nothing you do about it. What Jesus did in your heart was a completed work. Your spirit's made perfect. But for the rest of your life, you're working on your thoughts, you're working on your mouth, you're working on your actions, putting off the old nature, putting on the new nature, crucifying the flesh, and allowing your life to be led by the direction of the Spirit that's in you rather than your old nature. Building holiness. Building holiness, verse 24. Anyone who listens to Jesus and follows. Now look at verse 26. Anyone who does not, anyone who hears Jesus but does not follow. Now there is your two builders. Those that are listening to the Lord and following and obeying His word, and those that are not following and not obeying the word. Both are building. You are building. As Jesus does, He uses natural illustrations in our natural day life to illustrate things in the realm of the Spirit. The most important part of any building, and any of our contractors in this church, any of them will tell you, the most important part of any building is your foundation. If that foundation shifts, if it moves on you, if we jerk the foundation out from under this building, as soon as the wind comes, as soon as the rain and the storms come, this building's going to fall over. But a foundation is not important, it's vital. And it's vital that we see something else here. Look in verse 25 and in verse 27. It's vital that you see storms come to both builders. Nobody's exempt from the storms of life. And too often, the Christian has the idea, I go to church, why did this happen to me? I can't believe so-and-so that happened to them because they go to church. That's a good guy. He's been in church his whole life. How did that happen to him? Why did this guy over here not die in a car wreck and this guy over here did die in a car? Look here. Storms come to all of us. Storms are a part of life. Jesus never said, if you come to me, you'll never have a storm in your life. He taught us how to build a life that doesn't collapse when the storms come. He taught us how to build a life that does not collapse when the storms come. Those that are built on a solid rock or those that are built on sand. Okay, what is solid rock? What is the solid rock that we're to build our life on? Look in verse 24. Listening to Jesus, following what He says, doing the word, being obedient to Scripture, that's building on solid rock. Okay, what is sand? He uses the illustration of sand. Look in verse 26. Listening to Jesus, but not obeying and not following. Yeah, I know what he says, but that's old, that's outdated, we're not there today. And going out and doing something that is not following the Lord. This church is full of the younger in life who are just starting out building their life. This church is full. If you're 30 or under, wave your hand. All those that are 30 and under, wave your hand. Look around here. My goodness, look at all the hands, all in the back everywhere. This church is full of folks under 30 that's just starting out. As a matter of fact, this month, it's a graduation month all across our country. Those that are just graduating high school, those that are just graduating college, we've got a huge group in this church. They call it the Expand Group, and it's from 18 to, I don't know, 28, or I don't know what the ages are, but those that are now out of school, and they're in their own apartment, they're in their own house, they're beginning to pay their own bills, they're making their own way. It's a huge group in our church called Expand. All of you 30 and under, you don't know this. You don't know this because you can't know this. But all of us in here, and you look around, I won't ask us to wave our hands. All of us in here that are outdated, all of us in here who are old, all of us in here who are old-fashioned, all of us who are in here that are not with it anymore, here's what I want you younger ones to know. We were. Just know that. I want you to know that about me. I was. In the 50s, we had tie-dyed clothes. We took the doors off the hinges and we strung beads and hung beads. Raise your hand if you had beads in a doorway. Come on, look at the hands. Come on, don't be ashamed. Stand up for yourself. Yeah, you had beads in the doorway. In the 60s, we had bell bottoms. I had black platform shoes. I'm telling you that we're this tall in the front, that tall in the back. I was that much taller than I am right now. Big bell bottoms. I was it. I was the man. And we had hair in the 60s. If it was straight, it just hung everywhere. If it was kinky, it just went up in the air. You couldn't even get through a doorway. We had hair. I'm talking about hair was everywhere. In the 70s, we had black lights. Had posters all over. I didn't have a poster. My whole wall, all four walls, and the ceiling was postered with black light posters. Today, we're all old. And we're not with it. Here's what I want you to know. We just got tired of throwing away good clothes. That's what happened to us. We finally got tired of throwing away good clothes that fit just because somebody didn't think they were cool anymore. We got tired. We got tired of every year trying to keep up with the latest fad. Now, we did. We got tired of it. We got tired of all that. We just reached a point, I dislike these clothes and I'm going to wear them. You dislike white socks and black shoes. I like that. You like wearing colored socks and shorts. Oh, man, no. You like socks and sandals. I don't want my toes showing. I dislike that. So I like my clothes. I like my hairdo. I can comb my hair with a washcloth right now. I'm going to tell you something else I like. I like green plastic ivy hanging around in my house. I like ficus trees in a woven basket that's been there since 1970. You don't have to water the things. I like those things. I don't like black and white and gray. I don't like those colors. I don't like straight-backed chairs with no padding in them. When I sit in the couch, I want to disappear. I want to just sink down. I don't like all this new modern furniture. There's nothing about it I like. And so I don't have to have it. And you go, oh, he's outdated. He's square. No, I'm comfortable. And see, that's what it's important for me, that you know that I like it. I'm just staying there. Now, you under 30? You're old-fashioned. You're outdated. You're not hippie. You haven't lived long enough. But you are very soon about to be out of touch. Because I watched 10 years ago. They're now 40 years old. See, they were textbooking. They were Facebooking. You know, they were doing all this, and I didn't do none of that. Oh, you're old. You're outdated. I mean, they were laughing about me. See, and you're still Facebooking. And let me just tell you, tweeting is took the place of Facebooking. Oh, I got bad news for you tweeters. Now we're Snapchatting. Now that's way, way old. Are you Snapchat? Oh, no, we're Periscoping, see. Here's what I got to tell you. See, we in here in 50 and older, we know we're outdated and out of touch. The 40 to 50, you don't know it, but you are. You're outdated. See, I've come to the place where I said, give me a one rotary phone that sits in the hallway of the house. Just one phone, and whoever's closest to it, when it rings, you run and you get it, and then you yell, Johnny, it's for you. Let me tell you something about the rotary phone. We never lost it. We never broke it. Never needed charging. I could see the darn numbers. I stick my finger. I didn't do like this, trying to figure out what number I was. And it just always worked. And I like that. I'm tired of trying to keep up. Do I want orange hair? Do I want purple hair? Do I want half orange and half purple? I got tired of all that. I don't think about that anymore. We're kind of laughing a little bit about staying modern. Let me just tell you something. You can't look right here and don't ever say Tim is stuck in the 60s and he's not a modern guy. Don't ever say that about me. You can look around here and see that clearly is not the truth. I'm modern, I'm on cutting edge, and I'm moving forward. Sand is verse 26. It's foolish when you begin to hear Jesus teaching and not obey him. If you want to Facebook, if you want a tweet, if you want a Periscope, if you want a Snapchat, if you want black and white and gray furniture that's not comfortable in your house, if you want to have a straight back chair, I'm all right with that. Jesus wore the clothes of the day. But sand is a definition of marriage. Sand is a definition of family. And we in this modern era are moving to stay modern and stay current and stay culturally relevant. And in attempting to change the colors of our house and change the colors of our chairs and change our hairdos, in attempting to do that, all of a sudden now we're redefining God's word on marriage. We're redefining gender and the choices of it. Jesus taught absolute rights and absolute wrongs. He talked about sin and the consequences of sin. But we're doing away with all of that because it's not modern. It's not relevant. In this modern era, and we talk about this modern era, here's what you need to know. Every era has a modern era. The modern era is whatever that day is then. Every era is a modern era. Here's what I want to talk about today is be very, very careful about your foundation as you're staying modern. Be very, very careful. Be very careful. As you're staying modern and hip and with it and in, be very, very careful. Oh, y'all are old. You're outdated. We're not talking about clothes and hairdos. We're talking about a foundation for life. And you need to be very careful about where your foundation is. You won't believe the number of times that we were told, you can't build this building right here. We got a lot of groundwater here. We got a place that won't perk. This right here was a swamp. It's way too low to put any building on. We drilled holes way, way down deep and encased that dirt and pulled them out and put a cap on the both ends of that tube. And we sent a trailer load of those tubes to a lab in Little Rock to study the density of that soil at every foot down under this. Came back with reports. And it told us to dig pillars 4 feet in diameter, 12 feet deep. Fill those holes with rebar, then fill that hole with concrete, and then pour this slab on top of those pillars that go way down deep in this soil. And we found bedrock. Chapter 7, verse 25. We found bedrock to build this building on. We found an unchanging, unmovable, unshakable, solid rock to build this building on. All of us here today are living in a very fast changing world. In 10 years, you're old-fashioned and you're outdated. We're living in a world with shifting sand everywhere. But God and His Word is bedrock that you can go way down deep in your life and you can build pillars in there that will hold your life up in the midst of a very changing world that we're living in today. The message today is not just for our young people in here that are starting out their life building holiness as a life, but building a holy life, building a life of hearing Jesus' words and following them, obeying them. That's never ending. That's something that you do your whole life long. I want our 30 and under in here today to know you don't just end up with a house that stands strong, or you just end up with a house that crumbles. You make daily decisions that build the house that you will be living in. I want you to know, all of you in here today, 30 and under, I want you to know this. As you're hanging out, as you're having fun, as you got this girlfriend and that girlfriend, and you're living over here and you're sleeping over there and you're living on this buddy's couch, and oh man, you're taking a few colleges at the junior, a few classes at the junior college to make everybody think you're in school somewhere. And I mean, as you're doing all that, you're building a life. You're building a life. The question I got for you is, when the storms of life come, and they come for everybody, will what you're doing right now stand? Will what you're doing right now hold your world together? Will you stand? Or look in verse 27. It didn't say collapse. It said a mighty collapse. Will the life that you are building right now collapse with a mighty fall? Chapter 7 of Matthew, obedience to Jesus, following His Word. It builds a house on a foundation that does not collapse. Building your house on a changing, faddish world, it's just a matter of time. It's going to collapse. Just a physical, natural example to show the truth that I want to show to you. I want one of the rooms in my house to look like a strong marriage with my wife and I. I want us to laugh, have fun, enjoy each other. I want a wife that is absolutely crazy about me. That's my destination. Now, I got to build that if that's what I want. So from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, every word out of my mouth, every action, every roll of my eyes, everything I do gets me closer to that destination or gets me further away from that destination. I'm not lucky and have a good marriage or unlucky and have a bad marriage. You're building the one you're going to have. This past week, I was in New Mexico. To get to New Mexico, it's where I wanted to go, and I went there. To get there from Arkansas, I traveled west. I traveled west to get there. I'm shocked today by the number of young people who want to go to New Mexico, but they're traveling east. And then when they wake up and find that they're not living in the house, living in the life that they want to live, they're devastated. They get counseling. They're wanting a doctor to prescribe a pill for them. They're crying, they're hurt because they ended up in Tennessee or in South Carolina or in an eastern state. Let me tell you something. If you desire to go to New Mexico, you will have to go west. You got to. And what this changing world needs to know, for me to stand here today and tell you from Arkansas, you're going to have to go west to get there. I want you to know that's not confining. That's not outdated. That's not old-fashioned. I don't need to get modern. I'm just telling you, you ain't getting there going east. Regardless of what some liberal college professor will tell you in a college classroom, if you're in Arkansas, there's an absolute right direction and there's an absolute wrong direction. And if you don't go west, you're not going where you want to go in life. And we got a world full of young people that want happiness, and they want joy, and they want blessings, and they want a nice car, and they want a nice house, and they want a nice life, but they're traveling in the wrong direction to get where they want to go. Well, who are you to tell them right and wrong? I'm just telling you. You ain't getting there going the direction you're going. Back to my example. I want a great marriage. I want a wife that's crazy about me. So I have to watch every word, every movement, every roll of my eyes, every sigh, every action. I have to watch the way I dress. Does the way I dress please her? Let me just tell you, I don't care what you think about the way I'm dressed. I don't care what you think about what I'm wearing. She's crazy about it. She likes what I wear. And I like the fact that she likes what I wear. And if I'm outdated, so be it. Follow me. Solid foundation is for those who are building a life of holiness, obedience to God. Are you living a life that's pleasing to God? Every word, every roll of your eyes, every sigh. I don't care what Pinterest says about what you want to wear. Does God like it? Does God like what you're wearing? Does God like your actions? Say, are you living to build a relationship with the one that will bless you? There's one that brings fun. There's one that brings happiness. There's one that brings joy. There's one that brings benefits. There's one that brings blessings in life. And are you living in a way that pleases Him? Or are you living in a way that pleases a bunch of people who don't matter? My point today, pleasing the Lord, obedience to Him is the solid foundation that you can build a life on. And that won't collapse when the storms of life come. When you've built on the sand the ever-changing world we're living in that's not following God's plan, your foundation is shifty. Just the example of I want my wife to be pleased with what I'm wearing. Is God pleased with what you're wearing? Are your shorts too short? Are your tops too low? Are you trying to lure somebody besides the Lord? By the way you dress, by the way you talk, by the way you act. Young people just starting out, keep Matthew chapter 7 before you. You want to build a holy life. You do not want to build a worldly life. Because it'll collapse on you. It will collapse on you. Young people, please don't be hurt. Don't be surprised. Don't be mad when your best friends who are ungodly, who are unbiblical, lie, steal, cheat, and lie about you. What? Don't be so, I can't believe they said that about me. Why can you not believe they said that about you? See, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Those are people who follow God and His word. So when you're hanging with people who don't follow God in His word, why are you shocked that they act in an unbiblical manner when they made it very clear when you start hanging out with them they were unbiblical people? In Matthew 7:26, your house, your life. A collapse is coming if your foundation is not in the solid teaching of His word. You can't remove God and His word and expect a life based on the teachings of Jesus. You can't jerk the foundation out from under this building and expect this building to stand when the winds and the storm comes. All of our young girls in here, 8, 9, 10 years old, reading magazines and looking at wedding pictures and looking at wedding dresses, 10, 11, 12 years old. You're planning one day you want to be married and you're planning your wedding right now, you're 9 years old. Let me just tell you, when you fall in love with a guy, when you allow yourself to fall in love with a guy who is not sold out to the Lord, not committed to church, not committed to God's word, he is not hearing Jesus' words and following them, then don't be surprised when he lies to you, cheats you, abuses you, when his anger runs out of control. When you have somebody that has the mind of Christ, when you have somebody submitted to God's word, are you getting this? You got to understand this. when you fell in love with this guy, he does not agree with the Bible. And that's where it says, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. See, that's where it says, don't lie, don't cheat, don't commit adultery. See, that's where you get those principles. This is not a debate. This is not an argument. If you want to go to New Mexico, you will have to go west. Going east is a wrong direction for where you're telling me you want to go. Let me ask, who in here has ever seen a set of house plans? Who in here has ever looked at a set of house plans, blueprints? The owner draws up the house that they desire. Here's what we want. I've been around and in the construction business my whole life. And I started thinking recently, I have never ever been on a construction site anywhere that the contractor, looking at the blueprint, did not say, cut it 10 inches, move it over here, build this, do that. The contractor, reading the blueprints, giving directions for how to build this house. And I've never heard a worker up there yell down, who are you to tell me what to do? I've never heard a worker say, I'm 18 years old and nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm going to nail this board where I want to nail it. Cut that 10 inches. I'm cutting it 15. I don't like 10. That doesn't happen. See, we understand to have a desired house, it's not an argument, it's not a debate. We don't have a bunch of liberal professors out on a job site telling all of our workers out there, don't listen to him, he's outdated. Don't listen to them and telling you what to do. Don't let them put their morals on you. Don't let them put their values on you. We don't have some liberal guy out here telling all the workers, don't listen to the contractor who's telling them how to do this. You follow a set of blueprints. You like it, you don't like it, you agree, you don't agree. You're trying to build a house here, and there's a set of blueprints that'll get that built in your life. You want happiness, you want joy, you want peace, you want a solid life. You have these desires in your heart, then you will have to follow the blueprints in your life. They're not confining, they're not outdated. They will produce the home that you want. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens to these teachings and follows it, it's wise. It's like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. Verse 26, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. It's like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When you come here week in and week out, I'm not ever going to stand here and tell you how long your dress needs to be, how long your shorts need to be, or how high your top needs to be. I'm not going to be here with a tape measure measuring your kneecap and your shorts. I'm not going to be here telling you how many holes that you can put pierced in your body or where they can be. I'm not going to stand here and say, that's plenty. No, that's enough. You're looking more like you've been bobbing for apples in the tackle box. I'm not ever going to say that. I'm not going to tell you how to wear your hair. I'm not going to ever tell you what time to go home and be off the streets. I'm not going to come in here and tell you don't watch TV, don't watch this show, don't watch that movie. I'm not ever going to tell you don't go to movies, throw your TV away, don't watch. I'm not ever going to do that. I'm not going to ever tell you who, don't be around this person, don't be around that person. I'm not going to do that. But here's what I will always tell you. Every decision you make is building the life that you're going to live in. Every decision you make is building the life that you are going to live in. And for those younger in here today, you don't realize it, but the storms of life are coming. Hard times come. Difficult times come your way. The question is, will what you built stand or will it collapse? That's the question. There is a right and there is a wrong. And for you to get to a desired location, you'll have to make the right decisions along the way. The reason for this message today is that so many of our young people are just graduating this month. So many in this church have just graduated last year, just 3 or 4, just 5 years ago. You're leaving the foundation, the solid rock that your mom, your dad, your grandparents created for you to live in. See, your parents in here are building a life of holiness. All of you young people that are sitting by your parents today, your parents are building a life of holiness. They're not perfect. They're far, far, far from perfect. I get that. But they're in church and they're pursuing a right life. They are pursuing a life of holiness. And up until now, your life has been fun, has been safe, has been secure. You loved your high school years. I watch our graduates really crying and torn up because they're leaving a great time in their life. An absolute great time in their life. What I want you to know is you had that because your parents built that. They brought you here, they got you here, they got you involved in this, and you've had that because they built that. And there are many, many in here that are 20 to 25 years old that I held in my arms as an infant and dedicated them to the Lord. They've been drugged to this church their whole life. Your parents built that. Your parents built the life that you have enjoyed. Now, to you, you've been held back. Your parents' curfews, their bedtimes, they made you study. They made you turn in your homework on time. Your parents monitored your friends. They told you you can't have this friend, you can't date this person, you can't go over there. They monitored your friends. Are you kidding me? Your parents monitored your phone calls. Your dad went in your room and he pulled up your text messages and read them. It's as bad as life gets. Are you kidding me? Your dad read your text messages. And you hate that. Young people, here's my word to you. All of that, that curfew and that monitoring your time and making sure your own time, and that, all of that was a solid rock that kept you safe and secure and protected and having a relatively good life. That provided the life that you've lived. The reason you had a safe life, a secure life, a fun life, a blessed life, the reason there wasn't a drug raid in your house, and the reason the police weren't in there busting out the windows and running in there, the reason you lived relatively safe was because of the decisions that your old, outdated, fuddy-duddy parents were making. They built that. They built a life for you by saying, no, 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 not that boy. No, not those friends. They built a life for you by saying, be in at 10 o'clock. I don't want you out running around the streets at 2 in the morning. You hate that. And so you leave that. You're going to go out and build your own life. You can't go to New Mexico headed east. You're going to go out and build your own life. So a young woman without a dad saying, no, you're not going over there. Without, no, you're not doing it. A young woman decides she wants to go try out for a part in a movie or a TV show. So she goes over to a hotel room of a writer and a producer of an R-rated show, and she's devastated by what happened over there. Why did that happen? Because she didn't have a dad that said, no, 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 you're not going over there. And she didn't make those decisions for herself. You can't believe this. I can't believe this. Young men, they got a job and they're making it on their own and they're hanging around a bunch of guys that are laying around their house. They're eating their food. They're laying on their couch. They're living there. And you're, what are y'all doing? How come? Don't be mad about that. That happens because of the thugs that you chose to be friends with. When you choose friends that don't listen to Jesus and His Word, when you choose friends that don't obey and follow Him, never be surprised that they don't act in a godly way. All of our 30-year-olds and under that are building your life. I'm not up here week in and week out trying to ruin your life. Your parents, your grandparents are not trying to ruin your fun. We are all of the age that we're aware that you have to have a solid foundation because storms of life come. We've experienced them and we know them. We know them firsthand. All of us or building a life? Will your life stand in the storm? I hear it all the time. I'm 18 years old and nobody tells me what to do. Maturity is not an age. Maturity is leaving your parents' home and now doing for yourself what they did for you. That's maturity. See, maturity is leaving your parents' home and then you setting a curfew for your own self. See, maturity is leaving your parents' home and you choose what goes in your body and what doesn't go in your body. See, you leaving your parents' home and setting rules for yourself. You monitoring your own text messages. You monitoring your own internet sites. When you leave your parents' home, maturity is being able to identify what sites I want to be on and what sites I don't want to be on. Maturity is whenever you're able to put clothes on and look in the mirror and say, "Whoop, this don't look right. This isn't appropriate." And you, without anybody being there, take those off and put on something that looks right and is appropriate. See, you leave in your house and then go out and build a house on sand, a mighty collapse will happen. What'd you expect to happen with that boy? What did you expect to happen with those girls? What did you expect to happen with those friends? What did you expect to happen when you went in that place at 2 o'clock in the morning? What did you expect to take place in there? A natural example I want to end with today is inside this building, there's going to be a constant change. We're going to always be putting up newer, more modern lights. We hadn't been in this addition but 2 years, and that screen already became outdated, and we've already changed it out and put up another screen that reflects light in a much clearer, much better way. We're going to be ever changing in here to keep up sharp, modern, contemporary, cutting edge. We're going to always be changing. But at no time will this church, to stay modern, to stay current, to stay culturally relevant, pull the foundation out from under this building. When you come in here, you can kind of look around and be amused at some changes you see, but you can know we've got a foundation here that's going to go way down into bedrock. And when you walk in here, you can know that you can know that you can know. We'll be changing the lights and we'll be changing the screen, but we'll always be preaching the same word, the same word, the same word. We'll always do that. And you in your own life, as you want to live modern and you want to live contemporary, so one of these days you'll outgrow that and you'll lose interest in all of that. Just give me a rotary phone. I'm good. But for those of you in here who, nah, you know, you're not going to be that way. You're going to stay modern. You're going to stay relevant. You're going to stay culturally hip. For those of you in here, as you're doing all that, make sure that you've got a foundation that goes down into bedrock, that doesn't change, that doesn't shift on you, that you are building a life on Jesus and His Word and following His plan. There's no question. There's no debate. We're all building a life. I'm encouraging you to build one of holiness and not worldliness. Absolutely. Get on Pinterest and find the latest style and keep yourself wearing all that stuff. When the style of the day contradicts your solid foundation, don't move your foundation for the shiftingness of this world. I'm going to be modern as long as it is godly. But when it leaves godliness, I'm not following it. Because I'm really aware a collapse will come. Y'all stand. Amen. You know, for all of us, rains come in torrents. Flood waters come. Winds beat against every life. And I want you to know today, if you're in the middle of one of those storms, as you're standing here, don't feel isolated. Oh, why this happened to me? I can't believe I'm going. Everybody goes through troubles. Your marriage isn't the only one going through a problem. Your finances aren't the only one taking a hit. Your health is not the only one that's struggling with health issues. All of us have storms that come our life. Keep your foundation solid. Keep your foundation solid. Keep listening to Jesus' teachings. Keep obeying His word. Keep following His will and His plan and His purpose for your life. And your life will stand come whatever may. Today, if you're in here and you right now are in the middle, The choices you've made and decisions that you've made, you're in the middle of a collapse. It's been a mighty collapse. Start rebuilding. Get you a solid foundation and start following the Lordship of Jesus and rebuilding your foundation. Father God, today, we in this church put our roots deep. We get our foundation down in bedrock. And Lord, with the coming and going of a modern world, God, our worldview, our standards for living, the rights and the wrongs that are listed clearly in Scripture are our driving force. Lord, continue to direct us and guide us as we live our life and we continue each day to build the house that we live in. Lord, may you be pleased and may you be glorified and may you be honored by all that we do say. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.